got it locked to Metal Mayhem ROC.
What's going on?
Hey, Vernomatic, Metal Forever Mark checking on in. It's the week of the Metal God's birthday. Rob Halford from, of course, Judas Priest, but some other projects and bands. And I think it's pretty timely because this week's special edition of Metal Mayhem ROC, we get a chance to catch up with Metal Mike Kloschik from the Halford Band. And he's one of the guitarists that actually helped the Metal God, I guess, return to metal after Rob departed Priest for a whole bunch of years. And I guess you could say kind of went off in some different directions artistically. So, Vernomatic, what's your, just, you know, as we celebrate Rob's 69th birthday now, did you think he'd become such a heavy metal icon?
No, and I can't believe he's 69. He's the Metal God. It's sort of like he has a resurgence ever since he came back in the Priest.
Yeah, he, you know, it was definitely over almost, 11, 12-year hiatus. But I guess to your point, back in the day when we were, you know, going through Screaming for Vengeance and Defenders of the Faith and all those classic Priest albums, I don't know if we knew that he would end up being almost like a true icon and a legend. As I was looking at people posting some things about his birthday, today and this week, you know, they were saying like there should be a national holiday almost for Rob Halford, the Metal God. Which I thought was appropriate. So, so this week is a really special edition interview because we catch up with Metal Mike Kloschik. Metal Mike is, like I had mentioned, the guitarist, one of a couple of guitarists that were in the Halford band. It's basically a band, the Halford Band. And it was after Rob went off and did the Two project and then recorded three different Fight albums, which many would say Fight was heavy metal, but it was kind of really thrashy and riffy, almost industrial metal, I suppose, if you want to classify that. But then when Resurrection came out and Halford, the band, came to be, and Metal Mike Kloschik was a huge part of that Resurrection CD, it was a return almost to that classic melodic Priest sound. And, you know, Metal Mike was certainly a huge part of that. And, that band is a standalone in and of itself. I mean, you almost can put them right up there against Judas Priest with Mike Davis on bass, Roy Z, the other guitarist. Pat Lochman was the guitarist for Resurrection. Then I think he departed when Crucible came out. And you've got Bobby Jarzombek on the drums and, of course, the Metal God, you know, ripping the vocals. So, I'll never forget when there was rumors that Rob was kind of returning, quote unquote, back to metal. The first single that dropped was a track called Silent Screams. And it's one of those like 7-minute, you know, starts off almost as a ballad, goes into a really, really heavy, kind of catchy riff and chorus. And then the middle of that song just rips off, you know? And I remember hearing that for the first time going, yes, you know, the Metal God is truly back and it's truly metal. And then when you throw on Resurrection, the opening track, and I think Metal Mike talks about this, you know, it starts with metal, with the Metal God's classic heavy metal scream, you know? And, so this interview is really, exciting because, you know, Metal Mike talks about how, the Halford Band formed, how he got involved with the band and how Mike's style of music. He said, look, if you want to play heavy metal and return to heavy metal, then I'm your guy. You know, if, you don't want to play heavy metal and you want to keep doing something else and experimenting musically, then, you know, maybe I'm not your guitarist. And so therefore it was a you know, really exciting interview. And we had a great in-depth conversation with Metal Mike and just talked a lot about not only Resurrection, but Crucible. And then their other album, which was called Made of Metal. And they had a live album in the middle of all that. So that band was pretty active for a number of years. So many would argue there's no doubt that, you know, Rob probably wouldn't be back in Judas Priest if it weren't for the Halford stuff. Because the whole time, I'm sure the Priest guys were, you know, listening to these CDs, and they've actually commented on it saying they were kind of blown away by Rob's solo stuff. And, you know, they realized he was, you know, the missing ingredient, not to detract anything from Ripper era and what, you know, Ripper did with Priest to keep them going. But, you know, this Halford band era for Rob's legacy is just really important, I think, in the overall history of the Metal God and his return to Priest. Let's take it away. Here's Metal Mike Kloschick from the Halford band.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
All right, here we are live in Rochester, New York from the Metal Mayhem ROC Studios, otherwise known as the Vernomatic Metal Cave. And tonight we've got a special guest, Metal Mike Kloschick from the Halford Band, amongst a lot of other things. And Metal Mike, you didn't know we were all serious and that formal, did you? Welcome.
No, I did not. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here with you, talking metal.
Yeah, so thanks for joining, and I know it's been a little while since I guess we've caught up, but you know, what kind of prompted the outreach among the fact that you've been on our list for a while, that, you know, metal artists that we want to talk to, but Resurrection, the Halford album that brought, I guess, the metal god back to metal, as the saying goes, just had its 20th anniversary this past weekend, and we definitely want to talk to you about that, but it's hard to believe it's, man, 20 years ago already since that album was released. What do you think?
It is very hard to believe. You know, when bands go on their anniversary tours of 20 years of this record or 30 years of this record, and you know you're kind of always on the sidelines, you know, watching it and seeing who's doing what, and then you realize that you have a record that's actually 20 year anniversary eligible. So that was actually pretty weird. It's almost in some ways like a what was the right word? It's just kind of like a testament, you know, to a record that was released and people still mention, you know, so it's a nice thing, you know?
Yeah. And it was nice to just sit back and read all the social media posts, you know, on Facebook and Twitter, and you and all the guys in your band it's amazing the positive reaction and the memories that people have from that album and how everybody was like appreciative that you guys were part of bringing Rob and the Metal God back to metal. So I guess, how was it for you just kind of looking at all the stuff that was going on social media, almost all of it positive?
Yeah, I mean, I did read some of the stuff because, you know, I was also posting a couple of things from my side. I dug up some old tour itineraries and some passes and things like that, and I kind of put a collage together of stuff that I have because I, you know, I keep all that stuff. As just mementos, and you never know how you're going to use that in the future. But so yeah, I put that in. So just because I was on social media doing that, I read a couple things, and mostly just replies to you know, to the stuff that I posted. And yeah, it's pretty awesome, to be honest, you know, because you know years go by and you kind of. In some ways, you don't think about it because you're always worrying what you're doing at this particular moment. But to your point, I you know, you do hear people talk so, you know, so warmly about the record, or, you know, I was there, I was at this show, and I went to New York, and I went to Connecticut, or I was at Rock in Rio, and I was only 9, you know, this type of stuff. So yeah, it's very nice. It's awesome. I love it, you know?
Yeah. And we want to get a little bit, Mike, into your history and also just talk a little bit about some of the songs, not only from the Halford stuff, but just some of your solo career stuff too. But, you know, we want to start, though, just by asking you, like, you know, what have you been up to lately and kind of how you keeping busy? And right now it's a really weird time for metal musicians and artists and bands with, you know, our health crisis going on. So, and I know normally you'd be kind of, I guess, in your Metal Heroes Academy summer time of the year. So how have you been holding up lately, and kind of what have you been doing to kind of stay active and busy, even though we have this weird time that we're all in?
Yeah, well, that's definitely a valid question, and it's actually that Metal Heroes summer camp was actually supposed to be happening this week right now. So it's here I am back in New Jersey instead of being doing the camp for kids. A big part of what I do, outside of playing music, a mission I have is to teach people heavy metal for different instruments through my Metal Heroes Music Academy. And then what we do camps and retreats for adults, camps for younger players, sleepaway camps and things like that. So it's pretty awesome. It's all about the heavy metal and being in the middle of the music that we all love. So luckily, through the internet, I've been basically keeping busy teaching guitar to younger players, and then older players who still like to play but have jobs and just do it for fun. And sometimes people hire me for showing them particular type of things that they want to learn. But yeah, man, so teaching has been a big thing, which is also always a side venture that I always do. So I just concentrated on that, and hopefully we'll be able to get out there again.
Yeah, hopefully. Mike, this is the Vernomatic with you. Listen, Mark tells me you have an interesting story as to how you actually ended up auditioning for the Helford Band.
Yeah, the story is interesting, because I decided to put together an instrumental record in 96. At that time, a lot of underground guitar players were still kind of releasing Guitar Hero type records, even though the type of playing wasn't really in vogue that much in around 95, 96. But what I did a real heavy, heavy instrumental record that, still had lead guitar playing on it, but was really heavy rhythm wise and time change wise, definitely different than what everybody else was doing. And then I put together a solo band in New Jersey. So whenever like a Guitar Hero would come in through town, the promoters would call me to open up for them. So I had videos of me opening up for Yngwie and Steve Morse and Ronnie Montrose and anybody that came through Jersey that played guitar, I would open up for them with my band. Same thing, selling tickets and paying my band members and but one, a typical local story. But what I have done is I had all the videos, and through the release I would buy myself ads in Guitar Player in Guitar World magazine, and I would sell those records out, and then I would send them out for reviews, and I had this Bible of review snippet, guitar player spotlight columns, and all the stuff that I was in. And I literally put together that with a video of me playing in front of 900 people at the Birch Hill nightclub in New Jersey, and in front of Marshall Stacks, and I sent it to Rob. And I literally wrote a letter, and the letter said, if you are looking to get back into straight up heavy metal, then I'm the guitar player for you. Rob's been secretly auditioning people throughout Phoenix and Arizona and California for a year or two, just seeing if he can write with people and things like that. Hundreds and hundreds of tapes were coming in because they had an ad through the internet via the old two, the Rob's old band two. But Rob wasn't really known for doing straight up heavy metal back then. But, timing was right. And I would like to think that I was the right guitar player at the time. So anyway, the story gets better because I eventually, all my friends knew how much of a diehard heavy metal fan I was. And of course, still am. And then I got a call from Rob's manager at my old apartment. And I didn't really believe that it was... Rob's manager calling, and I thought it was my friend busting my chops. And then I realized that it wasn't. It wasn't. And I wrote songs. I went out to California, Robin and his manager picked me up at LAX. We went in, wrote 2 weeks of music. We demoed what ended up being about 80% of the Resurrection record. And almost literally from that day on, a year later, we sold out the Garden with Iron Maiden. So quite a story from selling your tickets in the parking lot.
Yeah, it sounds like a little bit of Hollywood. The Hollywood story went to Hollywood. That's fantastic.
I think that was in that movie with the kind of the Ripper story, right?
Yeah.
Where they don't, the band calls and they hang up on them the first time, like, no, you're not. It's just my friends.
Right. Well, very similar. That's right.
So that album that you ended up doing, that was the
Resurrection
yeah. album.
So, Metal Mike, we're going to play a track from that real quick. We'll do a snippet. We won't do the whole thing. Just we're going to let it run for a minute, and then we'll get your we want to ask you a couple questions, get your reaction about it. That's cool.
Sure.
All right, Vertimatic. Good. Let it rip. Was Cyberworld from Resurrection. That's definitely your riff, right? I mean, I remember when you came to the House Guitars, I think you showed some people at one of your clinics you know, how to play that one. So what do you remember about that track, and what was the Metal God's reaction when you showed him that one?
Rob liked the riff because it was kind of like a fast melodic, similar to kind of like a Painkiller type era riff from Priest, and he, you know, anything with a lot of melody, the Metal God will listen to, and the riff was just something that I came up with, you know, just it's four chords that kind of like arpeggiated in some ways, and it's a simple progression, but it sounded really good. The band, you know, was just another track on the record. We have always been playing live, and almost every time we play the song is played live, because, you know, it's a lively, fast song, and people seem to like it, you know.
Yeah, so back to that story real quick. So when you got flown out to LA for the first time to meet with Rob and everybody, did you say it was almost like you just went right into the studio and just started writing a whole bunch of songs for Resurrection, and then you found out you got the gig, or how did that all just,
yeah, exactly. That's how it happened. So, and you know, when the Metal God and the manager got me at LAX, we actually went to a studio, a photo studio, with this guy PR Brown. He does all the, like, famous guy. He does all the art for Nine Inch Nails and Manson and all these guys. And I actually did a photo shoot with Rob, and that's even before we played a note. So it was very interesting, you know. So just to see how things look, how they feel, whatever. And then, you know, we stayed in LA and we wrote music for about a week straight. In some ways, I guess that was sort of an audition, but it was never a very, like, quote unquote audition, come out and play pre-songs and see how you sound. It was a lot deeper than that. You know, it was like, can you write songs, and, you know, can people hang out together? Does anybody have any issues with drugs or alcohol and things like that? So it was sort of like a, you know, comprehensive sort of a get together of musicians. But it was perfect, because we really started writing some kick-ass songs, you know. And then we said, well, let's demo these songs. So we went to Silver Cloud Studios in Burbank. But we demoed these songs. I think we demoed at least 10 of these songs that we wrote. And then I remember at the last day, Rob was leaving to go back to to San Diego. And I was like, well, I'm like, Rob still didn't tell me whether I got the gig. Like, what the hell's happening, you know? And so I file Rob to the car, and I'm like, Metal God, so do you think, you know, I'm kind of like finding my words. I'm like, do you think you like what's happening here? And he's like, by then he already called me Metal Mike. He's like, yes, Metal Mike. I don't think I need to look any further. You know, I'll just make sure that, you know, you're very happy in my band. And that's it. Metal got took off, and I came back to Jersey, and I quit my job.
That's awesome. I love it.
My job was still teaching and writing for a rock paper called Aquarian Weekly, and I still did that for a tiny bit. But, yeah, I was sort of moving away from that and just transitioning into a career, really.
Yeah. And then, by the way, that's where Roy Z was involved, correct? Right, pretty much right from the beginning, because he was kind of in that scene.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from day one, Roy was already in as a producer role.
Because he was working with Dickinson, too, at the time, correct, on some of his solo stuff?
Yeah, well, Roy did, like, Accident of Birth and Chemical Wedding, and then great ideas and production ideas and songwriting ideas, too. So Roy was throwing in the riffs just as much as myself or anybody else. And then Roy, we just had a lot of fun laying these songs down and, you know, just cranking up music and we really had a good time. And the chemistry was perfect. And the results were good. So Roy was like, perfect. You're definitely going to produce it. And, you know, and I think I'm assuming through Roy's connection, Roy had the song, The One You Love to Hate, that I think he wrote for, I don't know, I think he had the song a long time ago for Bruce, and then the idea came up of Bruce and Rob doing that song together. He was quite a trip to be recording that song in the studio and doing guitar leads and guitar screams, and then have, you know, Dickinson and Rob Halford hanging over your shoulder, you know.
That was awesome.
No pressure there. I was very nervous. I was very nervous during that time. But I was nervous, but I had the greatest time of my life, you know. So that, you know, when you break through another level, you're always nervous, you know.
Of course. So hey, we got another one we're going to play for you. This is, I guess, a little bit of the evolution of the Halford Band. So you'll recognize this right from the beginning, obviously. So Vernomatic, let this one rip, and then we'll talk to Mike about it. So here we are. We're talking with Metal Mike from the Halford Band, along with a lot of other projects, which we're going to get into in a minute, and then a lot of his solo stuff too. But Metal Mike, so I remember you go on the road with Iron Maiden after Resurrection, do this huge, massive world tour. I think that's when Rock and Rio happened. Somewhere in there, you and I meet, which is a whole different story, which we can talk about later. But and then you guys go to this. I remember you telling me, like, you're in this hotel called Park Manor. And you recorded the second album from a hotel room. So tell us about that track, Golgotha, and then what was the evolution going into like a hotel room? What was the mindset behind that?
So the hotel room, which was called Park Manor, which was located in San Diego, we chose that hotel because it was close to where the Metal God used to live at the time. And we thought it would be just easier for Rob to come in and hear the music ideas, contribute, have us change things. Maybe Rob will come up with a guitar riff. So we would basically have a hotel room and then we'd just work. And after, you know, 5-6 o'clock, we'd be just basically free. And we basically had a hotel room for two different writing sessions. So as far as writing music, a lot of it did take place for the Crucible record, but we didn't really do any recordings. at the Park Manor. That was solely for recording music. We did the photo shoot for the record also at the hotel room with a photographer, John Etter. We just basically rented a big room and we did the photos there. But yeah, so that was Park Manor.
Hey, Mike, that being said, how did you approach writing with different metal vocalists? Besides the metal god, Sebastian Bach and, Ralph Schieffers.
Well, it's all, it's all different. At the same time, it's the same. Because for me, I feel like if those guys want to work with me on different things, then I feel like I should provide what it is that I provide. And what I provide is, it's kind of like no qualms about it, heavy metal riffs. As a matter of fact, a lot of my stuff has slight signature, such as like Cyberworld and things like that. And so that's easy for me because I know where I'm going with it. I don't want to be chameleon trying to be somebody else on the guitar. But it's a different, it does change at times, it's an idea that sometimes works very, very easily. When I was working with a vocalist, Carlos Zima, for my solo record, The Metal Worker, Carlos's band is Immortal Guardian from Las Vegas. Carlos just hears my riffs and he has a ton of melody over anything I played. I would literally finish up a whole song, give him the music, and he would come up with a complete song. And that is very rare from my experience. I had a lot of success like that as well with Tim from Pain Museum that would just work until they got the music over the riff. But a lot of the more famous vocalists really sometimes they don't really want the whole song. They want guitar riffs. And sometimes I don't know how much of a riff I should give them, because if you give them a whole entire song, then they feel like you're writing too much in advance and there's not enough for them to do. If you give them two guitar riffs, then they don't know what the hell to do with it because it's not enough. So
yeah, you can't win. You
can't win. So the whole thing is that you should, the best success I've had with famous vocalists was to actually get in a room and write together. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, hey man, here's two riffs. They're like, all right, let's do it, repeat it, we need a middle part. And Rob would be like, need a middle part. All right, we just need a chorus, let's come up with a chorus tomorrow, and the song would take place like that.
Sounds like you had some success like that with Sebastian in the American Metalhead.
Well, American Metalhead was actually a song already recorded on the Pain Museum record called Metal for Life.
Oh, and brought it, yeah, you're correct. Yeah, and brought it to him.
And an additionally song, Live and Die, that appears on Angel Down, was also a song on the Pain Museum record, Metal for Life. So Sebastian loved those songs, and he decided to, I guess for lack of a better word, cover them for Angel Down. He did a very good job with them. I, of course, played guitar again. Steve DiGiorgio played bass, and Bobby Jarzombek played drums. So it was literally a Pain Museum lineup. But Sebastian was the vocalist, and it was Sebastian Bach's record.
Well, let's take a listen to it.
All right.
So Metal Mike, that was actually the Hay Museum version with Tim Claiborne, not the Sebastian Bach version with Angel Down. I've often listened to those two side by side to kind of see what I like better, because in some ways Sebastian has such a unique voice. But as you know, I'm a big fan of Tim Claiborne. So what do you think about those versions? Like, is there one that you favor over the other, or they hold their own in their own right?
You know, American Metalhead is a very, very difficult song to sing, first of all. And I thought the guitar sound and the way the song sounded musically was really good on the Pain Museum record. So covering it for me, well, I'm a team player, so of course I was cool with it, but like, it was almost sort of like repainting something that was done perfectly the way it should have sounded in the first place. So we did a really good copy of the song. And Sebastian, you know, I have to give it to him for tackling that tune. It's, you know, Tim is as raw as you're going to get. You know, Tim is like this evil child of Sebastian Bach in some ways, you know. But yeah, I like them both. Of course, I love Pain Museum because that's the original. But then at the same time, you know, Sebastian has been playing that song at every one of his shows. And he's made that song known across the world. So there's a lot of respect and, you know, appreciation for that. So yeah, both of them are good, man.
To your point, Metal Mike, Sebastian is still playing that song live, and I guess he kind of has made it his own. And you know, I actually think Angel Down's probably one of the best solo albums he's ever made, and just definitely the heaviest. And clearly, your influence is all over that one. So mm-hmm. That's huge credit to you. But yeah, so by the way, we got one other one we're going to play. We're going to play Hell No. You just mentioned Carlos Zima, so that's another vocalist you've worked with. So we're going to do a quick one on that one, and then we'll talk about that for a second, too. So, Vernomatic, sure. Let that one rip. Okay, Metal Mike. So we just heard Zima scream there. So I mean, I was on MetalMike.net and I sent the link to Vernomatic, your discography link, and man, it's just amazing. Uh-huh. Not only all the albums that you wrote with Halford and the EPs and Pain Museum and your solo stuff, you've done so much. You know, Joachim Kahns from Hammerfall, like a lot of great artists. Yeah. I mean. So, man, where do you rank Zima and all that? Like, it's, I mean, that's another hidden gem, in my opinion, for metalheads that, like, man, if you haven't heard Pain Museum and you haven't heard that one, your solo release, that's great because it's got vocalists and instrumental.
Yeah, and I did that sort of on purpose because I do so many guitar clinics and things like that that I wanted to have instrumental tracks so I could use that for clinics and, you know, just kind of go and play. But, you know, I didn't want to make another instrumental record necessarily. So, yeah, I mean, Carlos, I mean, I think Carlos is definitely one of the best vocalists out there right now. He's the guy, you know. I mean, his band Immortal Guardian, you know, gaining ground and things like that. But as far as vocal ability, Carlos, you know, he's up there. You know, he's one of the guys now.
So, speaking of which, and then we're another question, and then we're going to have, I guess, go into our fun segments, as I guess we like to call them. But so what are some of your future plans as it relates to recording and then maybe going back on the road again? My guess is, you know, you're always there if the Halford band comes calling again, but you've got these other solo projects and bands. So where do you see yourself heading, hopefully, you know, once things maybe get back to normal?
Yeah, I think there are well, first of all, there are endless possibilities. I think the whole hinges on us being able to do it again. But let's just say we're there now. You know, with the metal god, it's a no brainer. Pretty much all my career to the metal god. So, if the metal god wants to do another record or tour, of course I'll be there no matter what's happening. You know, and then. And then what I would like to do, I didn't. One of the other things now on my solo front is that I never got a chance to do this today, but I was going to do a very special display for the Resurrection record, and it was going to be display of guitars and stories, kind of like a storyteller, and a lot of mementos from touring behind Resurrection. So that would have coincided nice with the 20th anniversary. It looks like I'm going to have to wait for that for the next year. And then, interestingly enough, it's been 20th anniversary of me playing Jackson guitars and Marshall amps and the Adario strings. So it's kind of like we're going to all hook up together and do this really wild event. Then, of course, I have my solo band that I love and that we've been playing for the last 4 years, and that's going to be going on. We'll like to go out again and play the music. And I play a lot of the Halford material and solo stuff. You know, real vocalist Mark Lopes from Ross the Boss, Rani Lipnitsky from Overkill on drums, and Mike Lepon from Symphony X on bass. So the lineup's really real solid. And then at the same time, I am not actually completely closed off joining another band that I like. This time, I would do it because, like I always did it, because I love the band. So there are about two or three bands that I would join any day, any day, any time.
Any names?
Well, I think you know the obvious band, and then there are a couple other bands, but I don't want to talk about that yet because
we're not cursing. Hey, Mike, listen, is there any sites or Twitter there? We could post where people could follow you?
Yeah, so it's very simple because everything that has to do with me will be Metal Mike, and my first letter of my last name is C, as in Charlie. So Metal Mike C.
Okay. We'll have all this on the website for the episode blog with all show notes so people could find it real easily. We're gonna slip into a segment right here.
Many have tried, most have failed, only a few survived. This is the Mount Rushmore of metal.
All right, Hondo Mike, we didn't give you too much advance warning on this, and we're not sure why it says many have failed in that little bumper, but I guess some have failed with the Mount Rushmore of metal.
Never made it. They were not metal enough.
So we got two Mount Rushmores of metal, which are your top four of, play off the good old Mount Rushmore president's thingy. But so I guess the first one is your top four pre-songs that you like to play live, whether it's with the Halford band or even, your own band. Sometimes I know you slip a Priest cover in there too.
Yeah. Well, for me, Priest is a quintessential heavy metal band. They're to myself personally, they're the greatest heavy metal band of all time. Just for their songs, for them being able to forge metal, but at the same time rock at the same time, they came out of this blues type era, and then the band knows how to play, so it's not a quantized Pro Tools to death band. Anyway, so my favorite songs from Priest would be, believe it or not, I Love Another Thing Coming, because of the message of the song. I love Green Man Alishi. I would have to say Painkiller. And one more, I would have to say Riding on the Wind.
Now, none of those four, though, have made your live set recently, have they?
We did play Green Man Alishi and Riding on the Wind.
Ah, you played Riding on the Wind. I don't know if you played that in Rochester when you opened for Dokken about a year ago.
No, we didn't.
I thought maybe you threw Jawbreaker in there. No?
There's so many. No, we never did Jawbreaker. I don't even know if we did Green Man Alishi in Rochester.
Yeah. Okay, so then what are your top four favorite just Halford songs then from the Halford era? That's a hard one.
See, that's actually a real rough, tough one, man. I would one of them it would have to be Said Wings of Destiny, which is used to be a bonus track from the Resurrection album for Japan. That's sort of like it's a very much a Metal Mike style song. To play live, I'll have to put Cyberworld in there because it just goes over really well with people. I have to say Golgotha because how heavy that song is. And it's obligatory that I put the Resurrection in there because, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
That's true.
I mean, I remember the first, Rob just screaming right into that track, and I was like, oh, man, okay, that's good. He's back to metal. Thank God for that.
It's done. So when that chorus hits, when the verse hits, it's good, right? I mean, it's perfect. And then when the chorus hits, you're just like, wow, this just like went a whole another level,
Saying the least, that is a great song.
So, Vernomatic, you didn't go there to close this off, the metal confession or not? Sadly, I know a whole bunch, but we're not going to talk about it unless Mike does. So we'll just... Basically, Mike, it's like, is there like a metal confession that happened that you want to talk about that, maybe no one's heard before, just a story that rings in your mind from the
something
road.
Something rock and roll.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, something off the charts, but anything you want.
I got an idea. What was the impression Rock in Rio? How was it?
Oh, yeah, we can go with that.
Well, that was actually really funny, is that Rock in Rio, man, it was so weird, man, because like when I did the record with Rob, I assumed this is just how things go. Like you go hook up with a legendary artist and you just sell out everywhere you play. I thought this was just like what happens. So I appreciated it, but I thought we were going to do this all the time,
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of, you just have the 15-year-old brain. You release a record with Rob Halford and you just play arenas and play Rock in Rio and you appreciate it, but you think you're just going to do this for 20 years. So Rock in Rio was so massive that I can't even tell you how big that was, because all I saw were these light towers every like 300, 500 feet, and they just never ended. So when we were coming from the airport into Rio and into the hotel, the streets were lined up. They were lined up with people. So they had to kind of get the vans through the crowds and get us to the hotel. And a lot of other musicians stayed in the same hotel. So there's actually a funny story with that, is that we're driving through and then there were people like beating down on the glass of the van and running behind the van, and we started feeling really good about ourselves that we're so popular in Brazil, and this is we're like the Beatles.
I was about to say that euphoric rush.
It was just like this, and there were like girls crying, right? So there were like 15-year-old girls crying. I was like, man, I can't believe they love metal. It's gonna be great. So I got my camera ready, and the tour manager goes, when I say go, you guys just run into the hotel like you don't stop.
That's a
wow.
All right,
doesn't that always happen to you, Metal Mike? when you just
run, and I'm gonna count to three, and I got my camera ready. And I'm like, this is the greatest moment, right? So he goes, 1, 2, 3, and we run out of the van, and all of a sudden all the screams go from like wild to mild. Because the girls thought we're a boy band called Take Five in a van.
Oh, God.
So we were a major disappointment when we came out of the van. It was just a bunch of long-haired metal people. They were like, oh, I mean, you guys are cool too, but you're no Take Five.
Well, you know what? Where's Take Five today? Okay. Oh, wait, they're on next week.
They're not. Is Take Five talking to ROC right now? No, they're not.
Exactly. look who's made it and look who has it.
Let's talk about longevity here.
Yeah.
Classic. Well, I've seen you get swarmed coming out of a limo before, Metal Mike. Come on. Don't sell yourself short.
I am not saying those stories have never happened in whatever small capacity, but the greatest of them all happened not to be.
Yeah, that's funny. So, Ben, we could go all night. There's no doubt. But actually, we've got an interview with Mark Weiss coming up tonight. John Vertimac and I were going to do. Have you ever bumped into Mark Weiss along the way? Metal photographer? I'm sure you have.
Oh, yeah. Mark Weiss. As a matter of fact, Mark's photo of me and Carlos Zima appear on the inside of the Metal Worker record.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Was Mark's photo. But I know Mark for a few years. Whenever a play, I see Mark in the pit. One of my solo shows. You know, he's there. You just see Mark. Whenever I go see Priest, I see Mark backstage and in the pit. So
and then you see Munzee.
Yeah.
Then I see Munzee from Skateboard. But yeah, I mean Mark, you know, he's the whole thing. I mean, he was very instrumental in hooking up Zach with Ozzy and
the
whole stuff between Skid Row. So tell Mark hello from me.
We will. We'll tell him.
Another Jersey boy.
Yeah. And I got to slip this in real quick because it's our show and we're just having fun. And I know, Vernon, we got a few minutes before we're doing our next thing. But, you know, it's funny. The way I'm just going to tell us quickly, the way I, you know, Mike and I met was interesting because I had moved to New York, New Jersey, you know, always been a metalhead, loved going to shows, driving around town, listening to Eddie Trunk, which a coworker of mine had told me about because he was friends with him. And I didn't know who Eddie Trunk even was. And I hear Metal Mike from Halford on the radio, and I'm like, wait a minute, you know. And he's like, yeah, this guy lives in Jersey. So I'm like, oh, the guy lives in Jersey. I'm like, cool. And so I was like, oh, I'll email through the website. And I was, you know, maybe you're like a publicist or somebody will get back to me. And like, do you like soccer, man? And sure enough, a couple of days later, Metal Mike replies like, well, I don't really like sports, but if there was one, it would be soccer because my dad and I've got a crazy uncle that likes soccer. And so it's kind of like, you know, invite him to the game and Metal Mike comes down. And it was kind of like one of those weird chance encounters. You never know if, you know, how we're going to hit it off or not. And lo and behold, I guess we did hit it off and somehow became friends. And anyway, Mike, that was, man, it's dated ourselves now because that's if Resurrection's 20 years old, then I guess it was not too long after that. So
it had to be like 01 or 02. This was Metro Stars probably. So yeah, man. Well, listen, you know, it's metal hearts find each other, right?
And I've got it. Mike did this national anthem just like Zach Wilde's done with electric guitar in the stadium. So I've got that in the vault somewhere. I have to dig that out and post it on social media because that was actually pretty funny because the fans were like, what is going on? They had no idea.
And then you guys asked me to play Metallica's Enter Sandman when the players run onto the field.
I forgot about that.
The funny thing is that stadium held like 60 to 80,000 people. So whenever you played the note, you had a delay. So if you played the note, bang, you would hear it bang, bang, bang. So playing to an empty stadium was very strange. The slap back.
Well, maybe that's why that team moved out of there because we didn't do a good job putting fans in there. But that
stadium has tied in every major venue in New York, New Jersey area. Not too many metal guys say they could play Giant Stadium because of you. I did.
Solo performance, nonetheless. So you're
nonetheless, baby. That's it.
Oh, man. All right. So, Vernimac, Metal Mike, you know, thanks so much for your time. Man, I know we could go a lot longer because we only scratched on the surface of some of your history and stuff with the Metal God. But we just thought with Resurrection being 20 years old, it was the perfect time to have you come in. Maybe we'll have you in at another time and maybe we'll get you back to Rochester to do a show again. Vernimac, any closing thoughts?
No, I've been educated. I appreciate it. And thank you for joining us tonight, Mike.
Yeah, no problem, guys. And anytime you guys want to do number two, as far as the show, let's roll. We could do the secondary thoughts. But yeah, I appreciate you both, man. Keep spreading the metal fire. We need it.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Metal Mike.
All right, guys.
See ya.
Bye.
Metal for life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. Catch us next time on WLFE DB Radio.